in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom again, and I have with me Father Matt Williams. I'm reading from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. On the day of Pentecost, you know, Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came in power. And you know, there's a cost in Pentecost, and the cost is the complete surrender of our lives to Jesus. Peter said to the Jewish people, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Already the Spirit was doing work. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What must we do, my brothers?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now listen to what it's going to say. "For the promise made to you is for you, for your children, and for those that are far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." So this giving of the Spirit in baptism and giving of the Spirit in the baptism of the Spirit is for these people, their children, and for those that are far off, that's us. That's us. We need an infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need that the Spirit of God would come upon us and give us an experience of Pentecost. We need that. The church needs that. You know, I've seen people that are very orthodox and they love God so much, but they're lacking dynamos. They're lacking power. They don't know the power of God. And I'm not telling you that I know it completely, but I know a little bit about the power of God. I have experienced it. I have seen the cancerous people being healed. I've seen these things. I've seen a blind person being healed. The power of God to do works of miracles for the people of God. "For the promise made to you," the promise of the Spirit in baptism, "is to you, your children, and those far off, whomever the Lord God will call." He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 men were added that day.
I'm reading along here in my RSV, as Father, as you're reading from the NAB, New American Bible, in that verse 39, "For the promise to you is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, and everyone whom the Lord our God calls him." And, you know, in that line there, we also acknowledge that in families, you know, as the promised Spirit was, the Lord promises the Spirit, and baptism, St. Peter, in this Pentecost homily, we also see this as children being baptized. You know, in the tradition of the church, not only adults, but children are also baptized. So when whole households were baptized, we would say that children were incorporated in that, because I know there's a big question, as you know, in the difference between Protestants and Catholics when it comes to baptism. You know, why do we baptize children? And we would say, well, because in the Acts of the Apostles, whole households were baptized, and we would assume and can firmly believe that children are part of that. And so, therefore, children would receive the gift of baptism as well. You know, children are called to be temples of the Holy Spirit and to be born again as well. And we grow into that, just like you plant a seed in the ground, but the seed has to be fertilized and needs water and it needs sunlight, right, so that it can grow and bear fruit, right? Well, same thing. Children receive the gift, we believe, from the Acts of the Apostles, that children will receive that gift. And even though they might still be young and still coming to the age of reason, doesn't mean that they can't receive that gift and that promise of the Spirit, and that they are brought up and raised in a family of faith of believers to become disciples. I think that's where we see one of the great tragedies in our society, is that so many families come forward and bring their children for baptism, but we don't see them again until First Communion, and then we don't see them again until Confirmation, and it drops off every step of the way. You know, so that's why it's so important in the life of in our church that we have we're very intentional about how we're reaching out to families and accompanying them in their journey of faith and helping parents, equipping them to be parents that raise their kids in the faith and meeting them where they're at as well. So this aspect of, Father, you said, you know, Pentecost comes with a cost, you know. And, you know, we think of, like, life in the Spirit and think about, you know, you talked, Father, about miracles and things that happen through the Holy Spirit. You know, this happens through yielding to the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't think we've been taught enough about that, that the Holy Spirit is something that we incorporate into our lives. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit. He has to be released in our lives so that he can work. He has to be given permission.
The early church spread like wildfire because of the Holy Spirit. You know what John the 23rd said when he opened up the Vatican Council? He says, renew your power as in a new Pentecost. How we need a new Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus Christ and makes Jesus Christ our contemporary. Oh, yes, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He just doesn't do anything for himself. He draws us to Jesus. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you are a believer, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit if you are a believer. We want to have that beautiful Holy Spirit released. You see, I remember John's gospel when Jesus came in through the doors and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. But they were not speaking in tongues at that moment. But on the day of Pentecost, that Spirit that had been given them in the upper room became a fountain leaping up from their very being. And they were bold. These disciples were bold. The very ones that 50 days before had hidden from Jesus are the ones now that are proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Messiah. You see, that's the Holy Spirit's job, the Lord and Messiah.
I was just thinking about how, you know, when so many, as we are raised in the church, where we talk about the Holy Spirit, and maybe the focus is more on the sanctifying role of the Holy Spirit, and like in the reality that the Spirit, Holy Spirit, guides us and helps us to be witnesses, helps us to mature in our faith and to live out our faith and the charisms and the theological virtues that we receive, and it's beautiful and. And it's wonderful and helps us to live holy lives. What I think we sell ourselves short in is understanding how the Holy Spirit wants to equip us with extraordinary charisms to help live out the mission of the church and build up the body of Christ, and that there can be a fuller release of and yielding to the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. My own upbringing, we're very much in a Marian devotion, a Marian spirituality, and I'll never forget it. It was at the Marian Charismatic Renewal Conference back in, I believe it was 1996, and we went because of the Marian component to the conference, and just kind of, I guess you would say, went tolerating the charismatic component to it. And by the way, this year is the 50th anniversary of the Pentecostalism breaking into the Catholic Church. You know, 50 years ago this very year, young adults, college students from Duquesne University had gone on a retreat and prayed for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and that was kind of a marking of a new era of life in the Spirit for the Church. And just shortly before that, as Father alluded to, John the 23rd prayed that the whole for a new Pentecost. So we went, my family, we went to this Mass with Father Tom. We didn't know Father Tom from Adam and Eve. And we went to this conference, and Father Tom had the Mass, and he preaches, and he preached for an hour, which, you know, on most Sundays, you know, anything longer than 15 minutes, you probably would start looking at your watch, you know. And at this Mass, I remember sitting on the edge of my seat for the whole hour and saying, more, like, I want more, like, I hope he doesn't finish, you know. I'm like, what was that? That was extraordinary. You know, my dad's like, you think you should talk to him? And I'm like, yeah, totally. And I was thinking about a vocation at that point, you know. And then after Mass, I remember Father praying over people and people experiencing healing and resting in the Spirit. Never really saw this up close before. Saw it maybe from a distance before, but never really up close to them. Okay, this is interesting. He's got my attention, but don't fully really know what this is all about. Month or two later, he has a glory retreat up at the Espousal Center. It was a week glory weekend, and Father had this weekend in which we were invited to deeper praise and to worship. And as we praise and sow to the heavens, the Lord reaps to the earth, and experiencing the glory of God in the power of praise and worship, you know. Anyway, so my parents went for the weekend, and I just went for like a half a day or something to that effect, and got a little taste, but definitely acquired the taste, if you will, and was very interested in going to Father's Bible studies. So I think it was the following week or 2 weeks later, I start going to Father's Bible studies up at the Holy Rosary. And at that point, he was doing his Bible studies in his rectory. And Father breaks open the scriptures, and I've never had the scriptures proclaimed and broken open as they were, as Father does. And just feeding me so much, and all those who came in, it was just wonderful. And then at the end of the Bible study, he'd say, okay, now we're gonna invoke the Holy Spirit, we're going to praise the Lord. And my parents, we were like, okay, we don't know what this means, but all right. And, you know, we were singing songs and worshiping, and we weren't, at that point, we hadn't really experienced the tongues, you know, praying in tongues, and we hadn't really experienced that in-depth level of charismatic prayer. And I remember driving home that night, we were talking, saying, like, we couldn't get over, we love Father Tom, we feel joy in our hearts, but we're kind of not sure about this praying in tongues thing, and we're just kind of like saying, is this really from God? And just really asking the question, is this from God? But, you know, we kept coming back because we couldn't deny that there was a joy there. There was something in Father's preaching that we couldn't deny, and a power in his ministry that we couldn't deny, and we kept coming back. And I think after three consecutive weekends, we all found ourselves desiring to go deeper in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I remember myself wanting to begin desiring to receive the gift of tongues and really starting to pray for that gift. And it was interesting because I was able to be baptized in the Holy Spirit without going necessarily into a Life in the Spirit seminar. I kind of just jumped in the deep end of the pool, and I only did the seminar like months and months later, but I had jumped in the deep end of the pool. And I would just say that my experience of then having been brought through a Life in the Spirit, brought through into this release of the gifts, it just opened up healing in my life. It opened up power in my life. It opened me up to a deeper intimacy with Jesus. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Son who brings us in depth into the heart of Jesus. And so through that experience of the Holy Spirit, this deeper intimacy with Jesus and the Father, the Spirit of the Father, so that Spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Father, like, was opened up for me, and this intimacy with the Heavenly Father. And then through that, this sense of that God wants to work through me in extraordinary ways, you know, to pray with people, and that God might have words of knowledge to give to people and stuff like that. So it just opened up this whole dimension. And so I really believe that with all my heart that, you know, we sell the Holy Spirit short, and that in this hour where we are called to a new evangelization, where we're called to go out, that God, we need the Holy Spirit more than ever, and we need his power and his gifts so that the miraculous can capture people's attention. So the miraculous can capture people's attention. God wants to heal through us. He really does. He wants to heal through us. And the thing is that, you know, again, it's something that we've not really caught. It's something we've not really been mentored in. But, like, what if we decided to step out and say, you know what, can I pray with you for this? And just to step out and invoke the Father, invoke Jesus and the Father, and through the blood of Jesus, that this person, God would touch this person, and that this person would be healed. I remember when Father was doing that in his ministry, you know, and And early on, I'm like, wow, that's kind of risky, right? Because you pray with somebody, and what if they don't get healed? What if they don't get touched? You know, I remember Father saying, my job isn't to worry about whether a person gets healed or not. My job is to get calluses on my hands from praying with people and let God do what he wants to do. And I even saw a change in Father's ministry where Father went from praying over people to then calling into being healing, declaring healing in the name of Jesus by the power of his precious blood. And I really think the more he stepped out in faith and declaring the healings, signs, wonders, and miracles accompanied.
I have a friend in Arizona. Her name is Priscilla. Now, Priscilla's mother is 90 years old. Her name is Donna. Donna is not a Catholic. But she says, you know what this church needs? And I said it with her, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She said, that's what they need, so that they be able to witness, so that they be able to pray with people. You know, and it's very true. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a sacrament, but it is the release of the wonderful person of the Holy Spirit who leads us to Jesus the Lord. I'm reading from John 20. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping, and as she was weeping, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus right there, but did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? She thought it was the gardener and said to him, sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him. Jesus said to her, Mary. The good shepherd knows her name. And she, in turn, said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means little teacher. Jesus said to her, stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. This is interesting. I believe that Jesus made a special trip to Mary Magdalene because he had not ascended to the Father yet. But when he sees Thomas, he says, put your hand in my hand and be not unbelieving, but be believing. You see, Jesus is like no other person. He knows the people who love him. He knows the people who are sold out. And he knows them, and he wants to endow them with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need it. It's not something extra. It's something that I need at the very basis of my being. I prayed with a young man once. I think I've told you the story. This is very interesting because I didn't know what we were praying for other than I was praying for this young man. His brain had been coming through his ear, leaking through his ear. He was going to have this terrible operation. It was going to take hours and hours. So I prayed with him. I didn't know what was wrong with him. When he went to the operation the next day, the doctor said, where is the brain in the ear? It was gone. The Lord brought it back into his head. That's something that, you know that I can do some things. I could pick up a glass, and I could drink water, and I can speak in the name of Jesus. But I cannot do that. That's God working. That's God working. And speaking in the name of Jesus, it's God working too. This is something that is extraordinary and something that's not extra. It's something that's basic. The early Christians were imbued with the Holy Spirit. That's why they became martyrs. They did not say that they were not Christians. They said, we are Christians, and they died. They died for Jesus Christ. And I used to say something like this, have you found someone to live for and someone to die for? If you do, if you haven't, you're really not living.
I remember being at a Lyft ministry event. I ended up meeting with a young adult, and he had been done a couple of tours in either Iraq or Afghanistan and suffered from post-traumatic stress. And he had an injury from his time there. He had shattered his leg and was on pain meds and stuff like that because the pain was just so awful for what had happened to his lower leg. And so when I was talking to him, you know, what's the pain scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, he's like, you know, it's a 10. And he didn't know if he believed in God and whether God was real or not. And I think so much of it just connected with his trauma in serving overseas and stuff like that. And so we're talking, and there may have been some struggle with alcoholism and stuff like that, too, as you can imagine, you know. And so we're talking, and we're talking about God and stuff. And I said, you know, if we pray with your leg, you know, will you give Jesus a chance? If I pray with your leg and he heals your leg, if I pray over your foot and Jesus heals it, will you believe? Will you give Jesus a chance? And he said, yes. He goes, I'll give him a shot. And so we started praying over the leg. And as I pray, I finish praying, I says, how is it now? He says, it's worse. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. It was a 10, now it's 11. I'm like, oh, Lord, you've got to do something. I'm like, this is horrible. It's going in the wrong direction. Lord, was I presumptuous in what I've done, you know? And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take this as a sign that the Spirit's moving here, and I'm going to just, in that it's challenging me. I'm being challenged to keep praying and to have faith as I pray. So I lean in more, and I prayed more, and I prayed and called upon the Father to work in the name of his beloved Son, Jesus, through the power of his cross and resurrection, through the power of the blood of Jesus. And I prayed, and then I said to the man, how is it now? And the man said, it's a 7. It's better. I'm like, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Okay, it's getting better. I'm like, look, we're going to keep praying. And we prayed, and we did this about 3 or 4 times. And as we kept doing it, it kept going down, and it kept going down until it was a 0. And he had absolutely no more pain. And he's like, what did you do to me? What happened? I'm like, I didn't do anything. I said, you said that if Jesus healed you or took away the pain, that you would give him a shot. I said, Jesus is showing you that he is for real, and he is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of faith and for you to give him a chance.
Will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You fathers know how to give good things to your children. If they ask you for a piece of bread, you don't give them a stone. If they ask you for a fish, you don't give them a scorpion. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So let's ask. Father, in the name of Jesus, pour out your Spirit upon your people. Pour out the Holy Spirit upon your people in a magnificent way. Let them experience the glorious Pentecost experience. Pour out your Spirit upon people. We give you permission to pour out your Spirit and renew your people by grace. Oh, yes. By grace, oh, God. We have struggled so hard to be renewed, and it all takes Jesus' Holy Spirit to renew us, to give us that grace to be renewed. Holy Spirit, come down upon your people with that dynamos power, that dynamite power. Come upon your people and fill them with joy. Fill them with your love. Fill them with your presence. Do for them what no man or woman can do. We ask this in Jesus' name.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. We have to pay bills. Now let me ask you this. Do these broadcasts bless you? If they bless you, would you please bless us so that I don't have to be saying this on the radio? I don't like saying this, but you know I have to because we need to pay bills. You're right, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or you can go to the internet, inseason.net, and leave a donation. That's inseason.net.
God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.